Well, you know, it's weird when you do a podcast and then you realize that you have yearly rituals. I realized we didn't record last week. It was Thanksgiving. And I realized that we always do like a Thanksgiving show. We always do like a what we're thankful for from the previous year.
Oh, yeah.
Looking back, we've always done that, and we didn't do it this year. And I'm a little thrown off, to be honest.
I mean, you can always be thankful.
You should always be thankful.
Yes. Well, we could be thankful today.
Yeah.
We don't have a topic.
Yeah.
Well, the topic is thankfulness.
I'm thankful that we didn't record last week. I'm actually the one that said, hey, I don't want to record.
Did you get a lot done?
I certainly did, yes.
Good.
Like I said, that Wednesday morning when everybody that knows us thinks we're recording, but we're really not. We're goofing off like it's like extreme deep personal time for that hour and a half on a Wednesday morning when we don't record, but nobody knows it.
Like you need one of those
and friends.
Red recording lights hanging up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, everybody knows. Everybody who's in the house. Like, if I have friends staying over, they like, don't come near my office on Wednesday morning. Meanwhile, I'm not even in there. I'm out in the shop doing stuff.
There you go.
Well, actually, we're extending the podcast Wednesday through Friday, so you can just let everybody know that to not bug you Wednesday through Friday.
It's in edits, you know, through the rest of the week, so we really got to buckle down and focus on that.
Yeah, yeah, all three of us are editing together.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how was Thanksgiving?
We had did you get snow, David? We had a completely white Christmas here. Totally white.
Not a lot, but a little bit.
A total whiteout. And my family drove up in the next town south of here is a town called Cairo. It's only about 6 miles to the border of East Durham and Cairo. And when they came up through Cairo, they said it was still only raining. And then once they got into East Durham, about 2 miles from my house, it was just a blanket of 3 inches of white snow. They said there was a delineation. They said all of a sudden it went from rain to just everything was covered with pure white snow. And I didn't know that. I just thought the whole entire county had covered with snow. And so they were very pleasantly surprised when they pulled up. And the whole house looked like a winter Christmas card. I'll show you guys pictures. But it was really beautiful. And everybody was...
A little flurries, but everybody here was really excited about it.
It looked like Christmas here. Like, I'll show you guys that.
Oh, dang, yeah.
That's a good photo. The red contrast, the red tractor contrasting with the white snow.
Yeah. Oh,
thank you. I try. Whenever it's nice, I come. There's the new
but bond. But good time? I mean, through the snow? Good time with family and everything?
Very nice time. My niece immediately ran upstairs. My niece is a Instagram influencer. And she ran upstairs and, like, got dressed in some fancy clothes and ran out in the snow with her mother and took a bunch of pictures in the snow. She never sees snow, apparently, in Jersey.
And then you should do that. You should dress up in your fanciest clothes and go out and take selfies in the snow.
I did. You want to see?
It's going to be a black shirt, camel hat.
Yeah.
My cleanest clothes. Oh, I can't seem to find them right now.
Oh, yeah. Bummer. You know, just text them later when you find them. David, how about you?
Pretty good. I had a couple of families to go to. I smoked a turkey. I've never done that before, and it came out really good, thanks to my father-in-law's instructions. He listens to the podcast, so hello. So that was, we needed to give my mom a break. She moved in with my grandma about a year ago, and mom is just exhausted. So us kids said, you're not doing anything this year. We'll just bring all the food. And that was good. And then I went to my father-in-law's, and he smoked a better turkey than me, but it was a fantastic Thanksgiving.
Excellent. Cool. Yeah, I mean, mine was good. Saw all the family, had a meal.
All your family is close?
Yeah, my parents live down the street. My brother and sister live within a mile, 2 miles maybe. It's a small town. And all my nieces and nephews who are in college and living other places, they all came back. So we did have everybody in one place for the first time in quite a while, which was pretty cool. But
nice. At your house?
Yeah, it was good.
You do it at your house?
No, at my sister's place.
Oh.
Yeah. Which was also nice. I mean, she was happy to have us all, but it's also really nice to just go somewhere for a holiday like that.
Then you come home and the house is clean.
Yeah, and you don't have to clean before you leave. You don't have to clean when you get back. You just, yeah. You know.
Yeah. Our trick is to have two wiener dogs that absolutely hate strangers, so we can never have people over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Interesting.
That's really funny. Cool. Guys, you know, it's 8 years since we did Making It 100, and everyone's waiting for Making It 200 still.
Yeah, I'm still waiting myself.
It's really strange. You brought that up the other day, and it's super strange that we had an event for our 100th episode, which is, you know, it wasn't like a milestone really or anything. It was an excuse for us to get together and have an event and stuff.
And then we had every other podcast that was out at the time got together with us, which was great. Yeah. We had like a row of or ongoing day of podcasts live.
But it's funny that we created this event and like had people come from, we went to Boston and we had the stuff for like 100, and that was 8 years ago. Yep. Like, it's not, I don't know. I feel like we probably could have waited on that and maybe celebrated a bigger milestone, but
the way that came together was pretty epic though. The yep. whole getting the venue at the Converse shoe place and getting tours and people volunteering their spaces and time to help out. It was and only 100 episodes. That was pretty epic.
Yeah.
That was cool. Was imagine 500, we might have to rent the Madison Square Garden or something.
Yeah, probably. Two nights.
I think we have the same amount of listeners now that we had at 100.
Sure. Then we know we're going to get at least a full house.
Yeah, that's crazy that was a long time ago. But that was a good time. That was really cool to meet a bunch of awesome people that we didn't know at that point.
Yeah, made some solid friendships. Obviously, me and Derek met that day, and several other people.
I didn't know that. That's the day you guys met?
That's the first day I ever met Derek, that day. Yeah, we had emailed once, and then early that morning he emailed again because the Eventbrite was full, and there was nobody was letting anybody in. And I said, just tell him you're my cousin. And then 2 seconds later, he was in front of me. He's like, oh, hey, that worked. I was like, oh, what's up, dude? He goes, I'm the guy. I'm the guy who couldn't get in.
I'm the guy.
Nice to meet you. And then the next day, there were some students from MIT that showed up. And I wish I could remember everybody's name. But they were very nice. They said, hey, let's give you guys a tour of our labs tomorrow. And Derek had worked in MIT with his job. And he's like, oh, and he was right there when the guy invited me. And he's like, hey, everybody can come. So there was like 8 of us went on a tour of MIT that next day. And Derek came with us. And that was our first date.
I didn't get to go to that. I don't remember what we were doing. We did something different that day.
Yeah, I didn't go
either. The hotel was teaming with everybody. It was fun. Yeah. So many people were there. It's a lot of people in this maker community I met there for the very first time in person. Mm-hmm. And it was funny how that came together. It was really such a pivotal moment in the history of what we all do. It really was. I mean, you see a couple of people yesterday putting up the 8th anniversary things, which was very sweet. It was just amazing. And I we really should do 500. How far away from 500 so I could start preparing?
This is 464.
We should do 500. I'm going to push you guys to do 500. I mean, we could host it. I don't know. Well, I'll find a place to host it. We could do it at the Blackthorn, for instance, the East Durham. Mm. We'll figure out something. We could land if we could have something fun. I'm not going to let it go by without us doing.
I feel like we should do. Man, we've done this many times. Let's spend an entire episode dreaming about a thing that we'll never actually pull off. We should do a place that people can come in and out of easily, quickly.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Chicago, I think we've talked about that before. Like that.
Oh, you mean like Central, like so, like they could get direct flights and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we even had some people offer spaces in Chicago at one point. But Chicago, Atlanta, I mean, New York would be expensive, but maybe possible. I don't know. You know, we should do something like that people can come right into quickly and then leave easily. And
you know, let's do a city with like an easy suburb, like Chicago or something. You know, because.
Toledo it is.
All right, yeah. Toledo.
We could do East Durham. I mean, I'm almost going to be like, let's do it in my backyard. But we'll see.
Well, you would regret that. It would.
No, everybody would be so respectful. You know, everybody would, you know, leave no trace. I'm sure people would be respectful for that kind of thing. And we'd have garbage bags and stuff. We could have a lot of garbage bags.
That's the extent of our event planning right there. Garbage bags and stuff. Like, I don't know. You know, there's ground to sit on.
No, but we'd have to do it inside just in case we have weather problems. Like, if I did it in my yard and, like, had, like, a stage set up and stuff, and then we had a bad day, windy, rain, whatever that day would be, we'll do it inside. So we can control
inside
the
your
environment.
House. So that's the plan.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, I'd say we do it inside the barn, but there's too many tools in there right now. Yeah.
Well, I guess, I was about to make a joke. Like, I guess we can't figure it out. I guess we'll just have to not do 500 and shoot for 600.
No, we've got to just find an event space like we did last time.
Yeah.
When might that land? How many weeks away is that?
It's 36 weeks.
Give it a year and a half. 40 weeks. Yeah.
A year and a half.
Well, we skip every so often.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So a year away. So a year away, like this time next year. We want to do it. We could do it on December 3rd again. It happened to be my dad's birthday when we did it. That's why I remember the date.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
It's not so fun to go to a city when it's cold, though.
No.
Especially if you want to walk around.
We got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's do it in the fall or this summer.
Fall.
Fall would be good. Maybe.
And right, Chicago has wind, so I hear. So.
Southern California it is.
Wait, Hawaii. If we're going to do it, let's go ahead and just pick a place where we can just, go to Costa Rica. Maybe, I don't know. We'll find some interesting.
Do like a completely inconvenient destination wedding.
Like nobody shows up but the three of us and we just get to go on vacation.
My friend had a wedding in Tulum. It was the biggest pain in the... It took us. It was so annoying. Everybody's like, did you get your ticket yet? I ended up having the only suite left was the honeymoon suite, and I went with a friend. I was single at the time, and me and this single female friend of mine went together, and we rented the most expensive room at the resort because it was the only one left. I was like, let's just have fun, and we rented it, and we weren't together, but everyone's like, what's going on with you two? I'm like, we're just sharing the room, and then other people ended up crashing, and we ended up having like five people crash in our room.
I went to a wedding in Brazil one time. So my old business partner, he married a girl from Brazil. He was from the Bahamas originally, and so we took a week down there, and they set up this big, we had like a tour bus and a bunch of different things to do, and we stayed in like two or three different cities, two maybe, and it was awesome. Like, it was very expensive, but it was the only way I probably ever would have done that kind of a trip, where somebody else planned a week of here and here and here and do these things, and then the wedding was at the end of it, I think. I don't remember. It was awesome, though. So we could do that. We could go to Brazil. Or making it cruise, okay?
Oh,
so,
that would be fun. Man. That so would actually be fun.
That would be... I don't know. I've never been on a cruise. I don't know if it'd be fun or not.
We'd do like an all-day cruise out of some city. Like maybe we do it on the Great Lakes or something.
Oh, a day? Ooh. I was thinking like one of those week trips where you
like when all the old rock stars get together.
Yeah, where you get to like sit in your chair and watch old rock bands play.
Do you remember when we were talking about doing our little tour and Jimmy came up with the game? How long is it?
Oh yeah.
Did we talk about that publicly? I don't remember.
Yeah, we did.
No, that's a game me and Welda used to play all the time. You could sit around with a couple of engineers or carpenters and play how long it is. How long is it with cash on the table? I'm telling you. You could do it. And I say with machinists, like you could do it with like how thick is it? How many, by the hundred thousandths of an inch. And if you get within the you can make money if you the closest without going over.
You can also lose money.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, did I tell you guys? I might have told you guys at the time. I'll tell it again. Me and Nick Offerman were online at in Midtown like 10 years ago. We were online at Starbucks, and we started playing How Long Is It? And I was like, from the bottom of that cup to the top of that cup, and that was like at the cash register. And Nick's like, 9 inches. And I measure it, and I was like, nope, it's 10 inches or whatever. And the people all around us started playing. Like okay, how wide is that cookie? Like the display cookie. How wide is the display cookie? I'd say 4 3/4. I'm like, nope. 6. So stuff like that. It's fun.
That's awesome.
Could really turn
well,
it into
we
a
can
whole
just
event.
Do that for a week on a cruise. How about that? Yep. I can see, like, so we have one night where there's a stage and we do a show, and then the rest of the time there's just a little booth, like, on one of the decks, and Jimmy's just standing there with the tape measure. Like, the whole week, he's standing in one place, people walk up and guess, and then he measures
how long
it,
is
so
it?
If they're right or wrong.
Nope.
You can make a killing, though.
Yeah. Closest without going over.
Anyway, yeah. Anyway, we'll circle back to the 500 plans.
How sure we will.
Because it's a nice big number, too. It's like a good number, like 100, then 500, and then 1 million. That would be the next one. Like
1 million.
The way YouTube gives out awards. You get 100,000, and then you get 1 million, and then you get 10 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's totally how you, that's reasonable how they, jumps between those.
That's how they give out the YouTube awards.
There was a, there was a lawyer over the other day. We started a separate company for the rental stuff. Nothing has changed with that, but this is a lawyer that came over to, we had to sign some papers, and he was in the shop, and he was like asking about, like, oh, do you get the YouTube plaques and everything? Where's your plaque? I'm like, yeah, it's up in the attic. I don't even hang it up on the wall. And he's like, oh, that's sad. No.
I was wondering actually the other day if, because I'm moving stuff around in my office, it's all different now, and those plaques have been just like up against things or behind things. And I was like, I wonder what somebody would do if they came across these at Goodwill, or, like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or would they be like, what is that? Like, you know?
Yeah.
They wonder if they have a value. I wonder if they're on eBay. I wonder if there was a value for like 100,000 subscriber plaque, but like an old one, the old good ones. Now you get the ones that are like cut out of foam with the aluminum finish on them.
Mine's tarnished. One of them, I don't remember which one. Like, it's in the glass case. I guess it's the million one. But the metal, it looks like somebody had a handprint and just, like, touched it, like, put their hand over the whole thing without a glove on or something, and then it just tarnished that shape, so it's not even a solid color. It looks terrible, which is, you know.
Oh, wow.
I don't think it's worth anything.
Mine are hanging up. I just finally hung them up. One was in my shop and got destroyed by a flood, and then I took it completely apart and put it back together. It looks good again. It looks like it's... Believe it or not, it's actually... It was like the frame, like, swole and it fell apart because water came in on the wall of the shop. Like I said, if you want to find where the leak is, put something important and sentimental. I'll bring in like a box of family photos, and then the leak will happen right above that. That's just the way it is. And I was able to repair that one. And then the other million one sat in the box because I didn't want to lose the box. I always felt like it needed to stay together. Comes in the, my cat with the ear problem is going to try and jump on me right now. And so I finally hung them up and I saved the box. So they're hanging up over my desk.
Mine are somewhere in a pile.
I'm in the kitchen, by the way, in this episode, because there is a wall-mounted C plug in the wall. You know, when you buy a new computer, it doesn't come with a plug. It just comes with the cord.
Yeah.
They don't give you the plug anymore because they feel like they've given out too many. So that's how they're saving the environment, by not giving out a lot of plugs. And so the only plug I have for a C is in the wall. I have to go on Amazon and buy a couple of plugs that go in so I can put a C in the wall. At this late
folks,
in the game,
he's talking about
USB-C. A C in the wall. I'm not seeing the whole thing like an old man.
A C in the wall.
I need the C plug.
How's your new computer,
cool, well,
Jimmy?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, it's good, and I just started a new hard drive. It's right here. I'm trying to move it gently. And I started a new hard drive only for Final Cut Pro. Shake it. I started the new hard drive just for Final Cut Pro. I started editing my first movie in Final Cut. I love Final Cut. I went right back to it like I haven't left. I knew exactly where everything is. And if anybody's ever plans with something new, you just do a quick Google search, and there's always somebody giving you a quick tutorial. So the first couple of minutes, I fumbled through it, but I was able to figure out and remember everything. I haven't used it since I started YouTube because I just went to iMovie straight away, just because iMovie was just quicker and faster. But now it's good. I like having the options of keyframing and stuff much more readily available. Versus iMovie does have some keyframing, but it's all very, very simplified. And the reason I left Final Cut early on is because there's just so many things to choose from. I found myself boggle down trying to make decisions. But it's cool. I could, after 10 years of editing in the other program, I could have a very good idea what I want. So,
yeah. I hope there's a dramatic change in your edit style and it's all polished and crazy wipes and effects and transitions.
There's a couple of those in there. Like every transition, something different.
This is that one video where you try them all out and every single preset is in there.
I'm going to do like the Batman spin in and spin out on everything.
We do that on occasion. Like, Forby made this little thing where a couple of times I go, like, to Fusion, and he has the Fusion logo, like, in like that, and then the Fusion spin out. So. Then use that one. Cool. Well, I'm glad your computer is working out. Let's do the thankful thing.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about the last year or so. I mean, we're getting close to the end of the year, so, you know, we would have gotten to this anyway, but... yeah, like, what are you guys thankful for? What has been this year? You know, I think we should be thankful for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We all have pretty amazing lives. But this year, what is new? What is different? What is surprising that you are grateful for?
Well, I'm grateful for the fact that I'm somewhat still relevant. I mean, it's always been a fear of mine that when you fall out of relevancy or you feel like you wonder what happened to these channels and these people that we know that were so gung-ho 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and then you never even heard from them again. The idea that I'm still relevant and that I still get solicitations from companies that want to get involved with me. Yeah, the channels have the ups and downs. All of our channels have dips and recoveries. And here at 57, I'm still like a teenager, influencer, doing stuff. And I'm thankful for that. I'm very thankful that the audience is still with me. I'm thankful that me and you guys are still here doing this after 10 years. We figured we were going to do like 10 of them and be done. Like episode 30, we would like look at each other like, do you still really want to do this? Like
episode 30, we just started repeating topics over and over again.
Yeah. But I'm just thankful that the audience is still with me. And, I'm waiting for that influx of new kids to come along, the new young engineers and makers, and find my old content and start rehashing it. I'm thankful that everything I'm doing here at my house, I could still pay for, because I like pick a scab and then all of a sudden I have 30 trucks of rocks being dumped in my backyard. I'm like, can we just clean this driveway up a little bit? And then all of a sudden it's like 4 months later and tens of thousands of dollars and trees ripped up. I'm just like, I look out there and it's funny, Patrick and I were talking the other day and he just goes, he sees me watching this going on and he just goes, everything's going to be fine. It's all going to work out. He goes, it always does. And Patrick always reminds me of that time. Always. And it's really funny. I mean, sometimes it'll make me cry when we talk. Kyle had just built the envelope of the building. It was all covered in green zip board. Only the roof was done. The ground around was completely torn up and muddy because it was just straight, rough, scraped ground. The building was on pylon, so it was at the ground level, but there was no foundation, there was no slab inside. No windows, no siding, no prospect of what the doors might be. There's two big 12-foot gaps on either side of the door. No electric. I had just gotten handed a proposal to do electric, and just the wire from the street to my building, 300 feet. Was $12,000. That's just for the wire. That one wire. Not all of them. That one wire that was 350 feet long was $12,000 in copper. And I just met Patrick, and we were standing out there, and it was like 10 degrees out. And there was plastic whipping, because for some reason we try to cover the doors, but it's super windy in the winter. And plastic was whipping, and the two of us were trying to be, we just met, and we were trying to be tough guys, like standing in the cold, talking, like standing kind of out of the wind. And I just looked at him and I said, I am so effing cold. Let's go in the house. He's like, let's go. And we had to walk like 400 feet up to the house. And then we got in the kitchen and we were just discussing the price of the wire and stuff. But Patrick always says, remember that day when we were standing there in the freezing cold and you had no idea how you were going to pay for anything? I was like, yeah. I still feel that way. But you know, so much is underneath and behind me. And nothing is on credit. Everything is paid for. And it's just, I'm just thankful that the audience supports me and that I can still keep doing this and that the brands that support me because I get to just wake up every day and play and try and come up with fun, interesting stuff like this. I'll talk about this in a minute. This is cool.
Go ahead and tell us about it.
Yeah.
I'm working on I have so much leather scraps, and so for a weaver leather video, I'm trying to figure out ways of utilizing that leather scrap. It's not, none of these pieces are big enough to really be sewn together or turn into big, big broad panels on another bag or even a wallet. So I'm making these bezels, these wooden bezels, and I'm going to make another version of the canteen bag that I made a few months ago. But this is a no-sew. Again, I'm always trying to solve problems where I don't have to sew, because sewing is always very treacherous. You make one mistake, you ruin the whole pattern. And immediately you have a discounted garment. So I'm going to figure out this bezel system. And for me, the big hurdle here was doing a two-sided CNC. I've never done a CNC where you flip it. You cut one side, you flip it, you cut the other side. And for me, that was the big hurdle here, because the way this bezel is shaped, you have a recess for the side panel, for the short side panel, and then the big broad side panel. I'll show more about this on Instagram and Patreon. So the bezel receives the thickness of the leather. So it was a two-sided cut. I could have made the whole thing on a router table, but it wouldn't be as fun, and then it wouldn't be as regulated. In this particular video, I plan on making four or five of these just to show how I could make a variety and then also use up the scrap.
Have you seen her Instagram is called, it's her name, Michelle McLaughlin, and she's teaming up with Puma, and she's making shoes out of Puma scraps. So it's
oh, wow.
And it's so it's a very patchwork kind of sewn together type of shoe, and it looks really freaking cool. I'll send you a link. But you mentioning wanting to use up scraps reminded me of that.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I'm just thankful that I'm still here having fun. I'm waiting for this experiment to be over so I can go back to having a regular job.
It's still an experiment. And that's one of the fun things about it.
11 years, 12, 13 years later. 13, 11 years, 12 years later. 13 years later. I started in 11. That's when I started. And yeah, the clock does not stop ticking.
Yep, that is true. Well, David, what about you? What's this last year been like?
I've been thinking about how I'm very thankful that I get to be creative for a living. I can't imagine having a job where I'm not doing something, where I'm making something that wasn't there before. And I'm just really, really thankful for that. I don't even know what I'm making next week, but I get to make it up and I get to do that. And I'm thankful that I get to have a shop that has all the tools for me to do that, and that I can make my shop as colorful and as personal as I want. I'm really thankful that I can create the space to create things. And I've been thinking about that a lot lately.
Yeah, it is a pretty big blessing to have space, you know, to be able to, like, a lot of people have a lot of ambition and they're just not equipped through life circumstance or whatever. They just don't have the space or the tools or the time to follow the things that they're interested in.
Yeah.
And it is pretty amazing that we have that.
And I think with anybody who creates something, you evolve over time. Otherwise it just gets boring and it doesn't feel creative. It's not fulfilling. And I get to just change it up. I get to change. I like making videos as much as I like woodworking, and I like changing up the way I make videos. I like changing up the things that I make. And I've really, earlier this year, I've said it many years, like, I want to do more creative stuff. I want to do more of what I want to do, but I haven't really done that up until the last maybe 4 or 5 months. I've been making the videos that I want to make, knowing that they're not sensational, and I'm not going to get the views that I did, but I feel better about what I'm making. And, you know, there's been a really good response to that. There's also a lot of people who say they miss the old stuff. They miss the jokes and everything. And that's fine. You can miss that. I don't. I feel better about what I'm making now. It's more. I feel
I
like
miss
it's
the
more
weekly
than,
wrap up.
Yeah, I did try to bring that back. So that was when I got started. I did the weekly woodworking wrap up review, and I just highlighted all my favorite videos of the week, usually woodworking, and then I would have a beer, and that kind of got me on the map, and it kind of got me noticed because I was highlighting other people. And
I remember when you highlighted me for the first time, I felt so acknowledged and recognized. I was so
even
excited.
Yeah, I remember Bob reaching out and saying, hey, I don't know if this fits in within your show. It's not woodworking, but I did this thing. I don't remember what that project was and featured that.
Validate me. Please, stranger, validate
yeah.
me.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then that ran its course. And then maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I tried to bring it back and it didn't work. And I was like, yeah, that was just a thing that I needed to do at that particular time. And then I changed and moved on, and I changed and moved on again and changed again. And here we are.
Yeah. I think that's one of the cool things about your content is just that it's always, it's like rolling, you know, it's just,
yeah.
Do you ever play that game? Not Tamagotchi. That's the wrong. I lost the name of it. It was a PlayStation game, and you were started at this little ball, and you would roll. And the whole thing was you rolled through the world, and you tried to pick things up, and you would just roll over stuff, and the ball would get bigger, and then it would zoom out. The game would zoom out. It was very, very cool, and it was silly and a kid game and stuff. But you would roll around and snowball, and you would pick up, you know, little things on the road, and then you would end up picking up cars, and you would pick up houses, and then you would pick up countries, and you would just like keep getting bigger, but the whole time the game was zooming out to keep you the same size in the middle of the screen.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And it was a really cool idea and like a fun silly thing. But I think your videos are kind of the same way, where you are constantly rolling and picking up new skills and new tone and new stuff, you know, and we just get to watch that change and that growth, but you're still right in the middle there. You're still you. That's cool.
Do you guys feel embarrassed when you look at older stuff, or are you proud of your older stuff?
No, I don't get embarrassed. I think it's like I look at it and go, look at how far I've come. And then a lot of times I look at it and go, look at how much I'm still the same. Honestly. I mean, not in a bad way.
When I think about my older content, in my head it's more embarrassing than what it actually is. And I'll have to go watch an old video because I need to pull a clip or something. I'm like, oh, that's not as bad as I thought it was. It's still not good, but it's not as bad as I thought it was. And I'll surprise myself. I'm like, that was a good edit for, you know, 7 years ago. But I feel like I personally would try something new and go overboard with the energy. And then I would have to figure out how to dial it back. And then I keep doing this thing where I go overboard and then dial it back and then try to find the middle ground. And I don't know what the next step will be, but I'm enjoying what I'm making right now.
Yeah, it's called Katamari. That's the name of the game.
Not Tamagotchi, which I had one of those little keychain things back in the late 90s.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
I don't think I ever had one of those.
It's sitting right next to my Furby.
Also cool. Well, let's see. For me, I mean, I'm thankful. I have a lot of stuff to clear out of my throat, so hang on.
Thankful for
that
cough button.
Thankful for tons of stuff. I mean, but this last year specifically, I think I'm really grateful that I've had some breathing room and been able to reset a bunch of stuff around the business and how I spend my time and refocused my free time on things that are really important to me and how I want. I decided at the end of last year that it was important for me to, I think this is important for everybody, to decide how I wanted my life to be. Like the work part, the life part, the marriage part, the father part, the health part, I get to decide how that is and then start to work towards getting that thing. I mean, you can't just make it happen, but you can decide how you want it to be. And that gives you kind of a direction to start going towards. And I'm super thankful that this year I've been able to make progress towards all of those directions. Like all of those different parts of my life are closer to how I want them to be. And that's amazing. So, I'm really grateful that the videos have been, I don't really know how to say it. They've been more natural, I guess. I don't know. They're a little like easier to make because they're, it's just like, I'm fighting the urge to try to come up with stuff that makes sense, stuff that is going to hit with certain people. And I've just really tried to do whatever I'm naturally thinking next is the thing that I need to try to, you know. And not only am I thankful that I've been able to convince myself that that's okay, but also that I've gotten a really good response. Like the last several videos where I've done like problem solving things, it's just like, I need this thing and here's how I'm going to think through it out loud in front of a camera and get there. The response to that has been like unusually good. I mean, like, you know, not everybody likes it, but incredibly supportive that people just want, even if they say, I'm not going to make that thing, but it's really cool to fun. It's fun to watch somebody figure it out on their own, even if I would have done it differently or whatever. And I'm really grateful for that because I would like to say that I'm a person that doesn't need a whole lot of like patting on the back, but I don't know that that's actually true. I would just like to say that about myself. And so when I do get those kind of pats on the back, like, yes, we're along for this, do more of it, it's validation. I mean, it feels like, oh, maybe I'm on the right track finally. You know, maybe I'm doing the thing that is both natural and interesting to some people. And so I'm really grateful that has turned out that way this year. I think it's happened specifically this year.
That's the thing, is to get to that point where you just feel like you're hanging out with friends, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
Whether you're on the camera, whether you're off the camera. And you know, they say that's when a comedian really hits his stride. When he's just relaxed and hanging out with his friends, no matter where he is. It's not easy to get there.
Yeah. I think the other thing is, the big thing, is that I'm really grateful that I'm not done, I guess. Like, I don't know. I was, you know, a few years back, I was worried that, like, I might just be completely out of, not necessarily ideas, but ideas where they cross over with motivation and reality, you know, like that spot of like, yes, this is possible and I want to do it and I can, and you know, that place. And I think I was worried.
I want the ideas that you can't make. I want to see those.
Oh, there's a lot of those.
that could be a video.
Yeah.
Just like pie in the sky thinking.
Oh yeah. Well, I've got a lot of that. Yeah, I shoot myself down a whole lot. Like, I have a lot of ideas, and I'm like, oh,
you should do a video just on, like, 10 ideas that I just can't make for some reason, because they're in space or whatever. It'll be fun. Something we should, all three of us should do that. 10 ideas that we just can't make.
Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Project videos that you can't make.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down so that doesn't disappear. Okay. but I'm thankful that I don't feel that way. I don't feel like I'm at the end of this thing where it's like, oh, I'm about out. What do I do? You know?
Yeah.
And I think even more than that feeling with the videos and with the business side of it, I think I don't feel that way anymore about the rest of life. Like I was telling Jenny yesterday, this actually might be another topic, but I was telling Jenny yesterday that it's so frustrating to me that we have a limited time, obviously, in life, that we have a limited like lifespan, but that we have a limited amount of time per day. And then within that, we have a limited amount of time that we are in charge of. We get to decide what we do. And then we have a limited amount of resource to make those things happen. And then we have a limited amount of motivation and energy and skill, and you know, and it dwindles down to where like the thing that you actually have control of on a daily basis, thing, time, money, energy, all that stuff, is really, really small.
I'm picturing you alone in the closet at the house.
But that's frustrating to me, because there's inside of me is just this desire to learn and do everything. Mm. I want to be all of the things, not for recognition, not for success. I just want to know how to sew and climb and play guitar and speak Italian and, you know, just like, I want to do it all. And we can't, which is super frustrating to me. But I'm grateful that I have that desire to do it all.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that I am not just like, well, I guess I'm done. Yeah. I guess this is how my life is, and nothing's going to change. And this is, you know, because I know people like that. I know people who have just settled into how today is. Like, this is as good as it's going to get, and this is all I'm ever going to be, and all I'm ever going to get to enjoy. And that's sad. But I'm grateful that I don't have that. I'm grateful that I have this desire for, I don't know, whatever it is, that I will never be able to hit the end of. I will run out of life before I run out of things that I want to do.
Mm, I like that.
And that sucks, but it's also kind of cool. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's me.
In the
it's pretty cool.
In the material world, I'm thankful that I get to play with so much cool camera tech, and I never would have thought I would love this stuff as much as I do. I used to be a photographer. I film photographer and then transitioned to digital photography. And never really thought about video stuff until got into the whole YouTube thing that took off. And I love, love, love new camera technology. Like the Osmo, the little Osmo, the crazy things that you can do with that. I also have this little Insta360 Go, and the camera is real tiny. I can do the Jimmy Duresta thing where I put it in my mouth.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I can
yeah.
film the... From my perspective, I just got this thing last week. It's a suction. It's an electronic suction mount, and it's only this big, and it's USB-C rechargeable, and it's made to like you can put it on a car, and it will if it starts to lose suction, it kicks on and keeps that pressure.
Oh, that's cool.
I can
stick this
thing. It's $100. I can stick it on any wall in the shop or on a tool and use one of these tiny it'll actually support one of my big cameras, but I don't
Ooh, send
I haven't
that
built
to the
a
link.
Trust yet.
That.
Yeah. And I can put it on any tool and get these cool perspectives, and I'm going to overuse it once I figure out how to use it. I love playing with video technology. It's super fun and inspiring for me, and you know, I can't wait for the next Sony camera to come out. So it's going to solve, you know, like every time a new camera comes out, it solves one little pain point. Yeah, Jimmy's holding up his little miniature camera rig, and it's so fun. To me, that is play. That is play. And he's got a little monkey arm where he can...
These arms are the best. I found these are the best now. I buy them on Amazon.
It's one knob, and you loosen that one knob, and then all three like pivot points can move around, and you can move the camera anywhere you want, and you tighten one knob. It's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, those are cool.
By the way, the Action 5, I complained about it online a little bit, but it had this situation where if you have it on auto, it constantly is... messing with the exposure. I think it's fixed now in the last software update, because I've been experimenting with it. I haven't seen it happen again. But as a consequence, I always go to manual exposure, and that fixes it. But sometimes you want to just flip the camera on, and it goes right to auto, and then you look back at it, and it's getting lighter and darker throughout. And then I speed it up, so the whole time it looks like it's like the light is changing. So that was in my chair video. You'll notice some of those clips. That was the day I got that camera in the mail, was the day I started that video. But now I think I've debugged it. Maybe they've debugged themselves, but like I said, now I'm just kind of, as soon as I'm on, I'm always just, I'm nervous, so I go right to manual in pro mode every time now, which is a little inconvenient. You want to be spontaneous. But this camera, by the way, I know we've talked about this. I'm thankful for this camera. I'm thankful for DJI.
It makes some cool stuff.
Yeah, DJI makes the coolest stuff. It makes our job so much easier if you're a new budding camera maker, a camera filmmaker. DJI cameras are great. And then the Action 5 is good for spontaneity, but what's great about the Osmo Pocket 3, is it called? Yeah. Is it's got great up-close focus, which is insane. I'm waiting for the action cameras to have that same up-close focus, whatever that lens is that they put in it. I'll never use anything else. If they made the Osmo Action 5 with that ability to select focus, game over. I don't understand why they don't do that yet. If you could just have like a little toggle, you can go into autofocus or just toggle it to just what the fixed lens that it always is, that would make that camera unstoppable.
Yeah.
For my purposes. That's why whenever I mean, I can break out the Sony, but if I'm doing more spontaneous stuff and now between going upstairs into the leather shop and here and there, I don't want to drag my Sony everywhere I go unless I'm going to be settled in for a long time. I'm always just shooting on the action or the pocket, which is cool because I know I can jam into it and it'll focus, which is just amazing.
Yeah, I've been using that Osmo 3, the Pocket, and then the Insta360 Ace Pro, which is like the same action size, but has the flip-up screen that flips up to face you and stuff.
Yeah, and I use that a lot, too.
Man, those are both great.
Mine's getting a little beat up, though. Have you noticed? Mine's now, I guess, about a year old. And I go to turn it off, and I'll hear it chirp, and I put it to the side. And it will be filming the corner of the wall for 20 minutes before I go back to it and grab it again. I go to turn it off, and it gives me the indication. And if I'm being spontaneous, like I should be a little bit more careful. Now when I use it, I make sure it's off. If I hit stop, I make sure it's off. Because sometimes it does this thing where it pauses the recording. And sometimes it just makes the sound and doesn't pause the recording. So that's it. If you have one of those, I wonder if that's a problem for anybody else but me. But the on-off button is giving up. The stop recording button is getting buggy for me.
Oh, I have not seen that.
Yeah, so I'll record 30 minutes of the camera just sitting on the table, and then but I still need the first 2 minutes, so I got to download the whole clip. And yeah, that's been a problem for that camera. And you know what else drives me crazy about that camera? While we're on the subject, it forces on a long take. It forces a push in. Did you notice that? If you shoot for, because I shoot long stuff to speed up, I'll shoot for 10 minutes. And on that 10 minutes, the camera does a Ken Burns on its own.
Really?
Yeah. Of all the footage I ever shoot, if I shoot on the 360, shoot a 10-minute clip, because I shoot a 10-minute clip. The 10-minute clip does not stay still, so I can't jump cut in the middle of it, because it's different sizes.
Oh, that's weird.
It's another. It does like an auto push in. Like, hey, doesn't this look sexy? I don't want an auto push in.
I wonder if that's a.
It might be a setting that I'm not aware of.
Analyze footage and generates essentially. No, huh? I don't know. I've not seen that, but I don't really do long.
Yeah, long do it like a 10 or a 15-minute take if you're going to be like sanding. You know, I use it. I don't always put it on. Fast forward, I'll put it on just regular shooting and then make it a 30-second clip because I want the sounds. If you go on, if you put it on time lapse, you lose your audio. So I'll just shoot a 10-minute thing of something, and then, but the whole time it's pushing in, which drives me bananas because I didn't ask for it.
Yeah, that is strange.
Anyway, so I'm thankful for DJI. And the way it's the connectivity now, you buy a camera and a mic. That's it. You don't have to buy a camera, a block, and a mic. And a cable. And an adjustment cable that'll fit this camera. And a jumper cable that's $25 on Amazon that never works anyway. And you see some guy from Europe go, I wanted to use this old GoPro with my new DJI, and I just bought this little jumper cable, and then you buy it, and it like, absolutely never works.
So. Yeah. So how's that new computer treating
you? Technology. No, the computer's great. It's nice.
Good.
It's nice. I'm thankful for Apple. Where would we be without Apple?
Yeah, right now. That is true.
We'd all be like getting auto updates from Microsoft every 24 hours. And what is that virus company? That's like they are a virus. What is it?
McAfee
is a virus. They are a virus. I didn't ask for McAfee. Every time I open up one of my CNC computers, McAfee's there asking me. It's like, I don't want you. You're the virus. You are the virus.
My CNC computer. It's a PC. It's a Windows machine. I needed to download Acrobat, and then it downloaded the McAfee with it. I didn't understand. I just wanted Adobe Acrobat.
Yep.
What the heck?
And then you got to sign out of another computer.
Oh, man. That really brought it out. Way to go, Jimmy.
Every time I open, I have a computer at my CNC and a computer at the ShopBot, a computer at my other ShopBot, and a computer at the Laser. And the computer at the Laser, every time I open it, it's like, download now? You're at risk because you don't have Mac. I'm like, get off my computer. Get out of my eyes. Yeah. So I'm not thankful for McAfee. Or Windows computers.
Yeah, or Windows computers for sure. You want right, what funny? Else are we thankful for? We're like 51 minutes in.
I'm thankful for Lightburn, but every time I open Lightburn, it's like download a newer version. So one day to get rid of that newer version, I went through the whole process, downloaded it, and I shut it off, and I thought I loaded it, and I opened it up. It's like, download the newer version. And so now I just open Lightburn every time, and I just hit no. So I'm on probably version 5, and whatever version is out now is 7 or 9. I just don't. Because I literally went through the whole process, downloaded it, paid for it on a card, and and it didn't. And it just says, oh, download the new version? I'm like, I just did that. Didn't work. Anyway.
Okay. Anything else? Any other non-tech related things that you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for YouTube for just being a source of inspiration. Just thankful for the internet in general, where I can absorb content of other creative stuff. Back in the day, you used to have to read a book. Yuck.
Like an animal.
Like an animal. You'd have to read a book or buy a VHS. But now I can just... there's so many creative people, and there's just not enough time to absorb it all. And I'm just really thankful that I can just open up my computer and just get instant inspiration. And I get inspired by other people's excitement about what they're doing.
Of course. It reminds me of when I was about 10 or 12 years old, there was an auto body shop near the supermarket. So my mother would take me to the supermarket, and I'd walk off the parking lot of the supermarket, go to the body shop, and just stand in the doorway of the body shop and watch them fix dents and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And that was my version of going on the internet and watching people fix stuff.
Yeah.
When I was 10, 11 years old. And then they also fixed classic cars, so there would be like Duesenbergs and Boattail speedsters and stuff there. And I would just sit there and watch. And that was, if you're a 10-year-old now, you just go to the internet and you get talkies and people talking directly to you. There I had to just sit there and stare. And they'd be like, just stay on that side of the line, kid. Don't come inside. Insurance issues. I'm like, okay. So I'd just sit there and I'd watch these guys bang out dents and mix up auto body filler. It was the first time I got that smell of like that paint and the auto body filler all together.
My uncle growing up was a professional race car driver, and just to go over there and just watch them work on the car was so amazing to me. I'm sure I was so annoying with so many questions and stuff when they have so much work to do all the time, but it was so cool. I can smell the smells right now of the shop. Yeah. It was that was so cool.
I didn't have an experience like that, but when I first started driving the green Land Cruiser and it just smells like gas because there's so many holes in the floorboard and all the exhaust is blowing into the back and you can smell everything from the engine. As soon as I started smelling that, I'm like, oh, this is what this is what my grandfather's truck smelled like. I'm like, I remember this. Weird.
Yeah.
It was cool. But that and pipe smoke, because he smoked a pipe too.
Oh, that's cool.
Cool. Well, I'm grateful for you guys. I'm thankful that we have an opportunity to sit around and talk about what we're thankful for.
Yeah. For sure. Amazing. Grateful to be grateful.
Yes. I'm also grateful for, how about that segue?
Oh, here we
for
go.
Our Patreon supporters.
Yeah, of course.
Because they're amazing. Because, you know, some of these people have been supporting us since the beginning, and some of these people were at the Making It 100 thing 8 years ago, which is bonkers. So I'm really legitimately grateful for all the support over the years from everybody for making the show possible. It is really incredible. There's the top group of supporters, they always go above and beyond. They've been around for a long time, and I always want to say thank you to them. It's Nick Ryan, Corey Ward, Albers Woodworks, Works by Solo, Chad from Mancrafting. Chad was there, right? At the Boston thing? Was he?
Maybe. Chad, were you at Boston?
Chad, let us know. I feel like you were. I feel like I've known Chad for a really long time. Chad's Custom Creations, Rich at Low End Design, Odin Leather Goods, Sean Deckner, Scott at Dad It Yourself DIY, Jeff at the New Janky Workshop, Warren Works, Michael Menegin, Crabtree Creative, and Matthias Garnow. But also people like Master of None. He's been around for a long time.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Big supporter for all of us for a long time. We're grateful, legitimately. Thank you to everybody for the support over the years, and hope you enjoy the after show, which you can get by going to patreon.com/makingit. Sign up at any level. Everybody gets it. It's just a separate podcast feed of more pigeon noises and muffled coughs after the show.
We don't mute the coughs in the next.
That's right. We don't mute them in the after show. Yeah. Jimmy's burps are full into the microphone.
I met Chad in Atlanta for the first time, as I recall.
Yeah, maybe I did too. I don't know. I just feel like Chad's been around all the things that we've been doing for a long time.
Yeah.
And Bernie too.
Bernie.
Yeah.
Bernie stayed at my house in the first Maker Camp. Chad, Bernie and Taylor and his son's friend.
Cool. Do you guys have anything to recommend this week?
You know what I've been digging into, and I don't know if you guys ever follow Werner Herzog. Werner Herzog, I've been posting some of his quotes. I've been really digging into Werner Herzog and watching some of his clips, and watched one movie, which was a tragic movie called Into the Abyss, about a couple kids on death row. But it's like really, some of his, it's, that movie is just like the American experience. It's crazy, but it's 12, 13 years old. But I've been watching a lot of his movies and just absorbing his style and his just learning from him. And it's a lot of guerrilla filmmaking, which is a lot of what we do. And this master class has been going around. So it's just really just look at Werner Herzog. Just Google it. There's no particular thing to look at. He seems to have done every podcast and every interview that anybody asks him to do. He's on every podcast. He's like me. He does every podcast. He's on every panel. It seems like he enjoys it.
It's funny you mentioned that. I'll talk about it in the after show, but there's a famous director that I contacted recently to see if I could interview for my channel and got politely turned down. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not Werner Herzog, I would assume, because he would have said yes.
You should try that, though. If he goes for all of them, like, that'd be awesome.
He's like, I'll take the interview.
So apparently in 23, there was a documentary about him called Radical Dreamer. Have you seen that?
Oh, no.
See, yeah. Oh. There's so much to look. So much
I
to
just
look
found at. It by looking up, you know, trying to find a link to put in the show notes. And
yeah,
I'll put a link to the trailer for that. I know nothing about it, and making no claims, just to follow up with your recommendation.
Well, like I said, he's always been a guerrilla filmmaker in the way that he said. He did something that was hilarious. In one of the interviews, he was saying, he goes, he got involved with a film that was already somewhat made, and he came in as a producer, and the guy goes, we have to get one release form from one couple that we interviewed. We haven't been able to find them, and now the film is going to go publish years later, and the people moved, and they can't. He's like, so we reached out to a relative, and we're waiting to hear back. And he goes, give me the release form. I'll fill it out with a pencil. Give me 2 minutes. Basically saying, just fake it. He goes, they were on camera. They know they're going to be in the movie. They already spoke to you. He goes, they're not going to sue you. He goes, just... He's talking about how most production houses have too much red tape. He said, "Give me." He goes, "Give me that release form. I'll fill it out. I'll sign it." It was funny, but just talking about that and just whatever. Just go watch.
He was in The Mandalorian, which I know you guys have probably not seen. But
no, he talks a lot about that. He says like, he's very. He likes that. He's honored that filmmakers look at him as a character outside of his ability to make his directorial stuff.
There's just this funny line because he's like trying to get Baby Yoda, and there's this line where he's like, "I want to see the baby." It's just like this funny.
Yeah, that's been going around. That's been going around, that clip. Yeah,
cool. David, what you got?
I watched this video last night, and I put it on just to be like background while I was fiddling with other stuff, and I stopped what I was doing. I rewound the video, had to hit the rewind button like on a VCR, and watched it from the beginning. It is called John Stamos Learns a Drum Solo in 10 Days. It is this. Oh. It's a YouTube channel called Drumeo, and I wasn't subscribed, but I've watched plenty of their videos, and a lot of times it's like drumming tutorial stuff. And so this particular video kind of tell like John Stamos from Full House, that dude, the actor,
that's not the only thing he did, by the way. I'm just kidding. It may be. I have no idea.
I'm not a John Stamos fan, so I don't know what else he has done. But he's been drumming with the Beach Boys for 40 years. Not like their permanent drummer, but he's drummed with them for 40 years.
Crazy.
Since the 80s. He was on General Hospital, and Sammy Davis Jr. was going to be on this episode. And apparently he was like telling Sammy Davis Jr. that like, I want to play drums on the show, but they won't let me. And so Sammy improvised some sort of thing where like, John, play some drums for me. While I don't watch General Hospital. I don't know why there was live music on General Hospital, but it was a really interesting story. And then by chance, he got to play drums with the Beach Boys back in the 80s and then became one of their regular drummers. And I was just really inspired. And then for a Beach Boys show, he needed to learn this crazy drum solo. And so one of the instructors from Drumeo comes and helps him out. I'm giving away the whole video, but it's so good. It's so inspiring. It's one of those things like when somebody really wants something, opportunities just open up. Anyway, it's a fantastic video, and I wasn't expecting it to be anything worth sharing, and here we are.
Hmm.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I knew that, you know, there were episodes of Full House where the Beach Boys were on it. And he like played with them, or you know, Jesse and the Rippers played before them, or
Jesse
something.
Jesse and
like
the
that.
Rippers,
but,
yes.
Huh.
I never watched Full House. It's like,
can you name any other John Stamos movie or show? I can't.
No.
Yeah. But he seems to be everywhere. Yeah,
there's probably some like Hallmark movies. I bet he did some Hallmark movies. I know he did other stuff. I don't know. But cool.
My guy is outside with my backhoe. Shoveling my driveway. I don't know if you can hear. I keep muting.
You don't have to mute in the after show.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Speaking of, I want to try out something in the after show. I have a new piece of technology in my desk I want to try out. So my recommendation this week is, do you remember Mike Boyd?
Yeah.
Who does like the videos about learning new skills all the time?
Mm.
I've always been a fan of Mike's because I love that idea of, I'm just going to dig into this thing and you know, do it. Well, apparently, he started doing climbing videos on his main channel and as part of this learning new skills thing. And he would do a climbing video, and then he did another one, and then he did another one. And it looked like he was going all climbing, like sport climbing, all kinds of climbing. And then the other day, and I hadn't watched any of these, and the other day he put a video saying, like, I'll stop, or something like that. And the whole thing was him telling his audience, don't worry, this is not going to become a climbing video or a climbing channel. I've just fell in love with it, and now I want to do it all the time. So I started this other channel, and it's got a bunch of videos on it and interviews and all that stuff. And it was really cool because I've been getting back into climbing after, you know, 30 years or whatever. And it's just cool to see somebody get started on it. Granted, he's a lot younger than I am, but he's getting started on it, so he's going through a lot of the early physical learning and the terms and the, you know, all of the stuff. And so but it's the same style of, I'm going to learn how to do this thing. I'm going to work on it until I can get it. So it's, you know, typical Mike Boyd videos, but about climbing. So I'm going to put a link to his channel because somebody might be interested in that. Man, my throat. You guys got anything else?
One other thing, Beto. What is Beto's first name? Beto, the producer that does a YouTube channel.
Beto.
You guys don't know Beto?
Oh, the music guy.
Yeah.
Beto. Rick Beto.
Rick
Beto.
Jeff. With Carl. Sam. Tim. Bill.
Rick Beto with David Gilmour is worth a watch if you're a Pink Floyd fan. It's pretty cool. I've been watching in pieces. I haven't watched it start to finish, but it's pretty amazing. You know, the genius of Pink Floyd is really insane to go deep into, and to see a straight-up conversation with David Gilmour about coming up with riffs that we've known our entire lives. Pretty cool.
Cool. Right on. All right. You guys got anything else for this week?
That's it.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for being here, and see you next time.
Love you.
See ya.